My name is Bereka, and I'm a part of the Zealous class. And I had the privilege of going to Chile in South America this summer with the Salvation Army. So, yeah. And I'm going to read a scripture verse, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15. Please read along with me if you can. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words.
Well, it is, again, just a pleasure to take part in this chapel. I love this chapel every year, especially great this year so far. And I don't mean to state stuff that's obvious, but have you noticed how often the topic of service and giving has shown up in chapel so far this year? When Savannah actually was up speaking, and she gave a little testimony about about giving, and that was kind of her word, I sat over here just amazed, because the day before the Lord had given me the same word to be the theme for this chapel. And even though you see Savannah up here right now, she had no idea at that point, because I had yet to email the questions that these students are going to answer today. And so I'm just amazed at what God is doing. Seems to happen like that fairly often. As the assistant chaplain here, I obviously get to kind of pay attention to chapels and take notes and things like that. And every semester there seems to be a theme, and I wonder if that's what God is weaving for us this year. Maybe this semester, we'll see. These are students that you're going to hear from today. Again, they all served in various places. So before we ask questions of them and they begin to answer those questions, I'm going to have them introduce themselves, let us know what class they're in and where they served and with what agency.
Okay. I'm Jared Brewster. I'm a member of the Awaken class. I served in the Middle East. I can't tell you what country. And I went with WGM.
My name is Chanel McLean, and I'm a member of the Fearless class, but also kind of a member of the Illuminated class. There you go. And I went to Mexico City with OMS over the summer on an initiative grant.
My name is Savannah Nisbet, and I'm a member of the Fearless class as well. And I went to Hungary this summer.
My name is Ethan Englehart, member of the Awakened class. This summer I went to Hong Kong with an organization called ELIC.
Thank you very much. Well, we're going to start our interview here with Jared. And Jared, here's your question. I should say, actually, by the way, I wish this chapel were like double the time, because they actually answered all these questions for me, each one of them, and I wish we had the time for you to hear their responses to all four questions. It's just so touching what the Lord has done. But for today, we'll hear one answer per question for each student. All right, Jared, what was it about your particular mission experience that initially caught your attention? Like, why did you go?
Okay. I guess the Middle East is a place that's elaborate, or it's like very ornate, very colorful, and just completely foreign, and that attracted me. But on top of that, besides that, it's also very difficult, and it's a lot of people view it as dangerous, and that's like a reason that it's very neglected, I feel like, in the mission field a lot of times. And so, I mean, the Middle East gets a lot of news coverage, and it's very, very seldom positive. And so I not only wanted to go and to be able to help and serve the people there, but I also wanted to be able to come back and share some of my experiences and say, yes, this is the Middle East, or no, this isn't. This is what it is like, and this is my experience. And I could go on about this for a long time, but I experienced just some of like just exhausting like hospitality and just unbelievable things. But I guess the circumstances leading up to me going on the trip were pretty incredible. Last semester, I had just like changed my major, declared an English major, and I was taking an ESL class, and that put me in touch with a friend, Ian, and so we were just talking one night, like outside of our dorm, about our ESL class, and he asked me, you know, like, what would you like to do with it? And I was like, oh, well, I'm really using that for like the skills, you know, and the means to go to the Middle East and teach English. I'd really love to do that. And he kind of laughed incredulously, and he's like, well, that's exactly what I'm doing this summer. And so he's like, and I really, you know, I've been praying for somebody to go with me. And so he got me in touch with the guys from WGM and the people that run the school that I worked at. And I went through the application process and so on. I guess what was really attractive to me about this program particularly was how practical it was. This was something where I was going and I was teaching English. And it was a great internship opportunity. I'm providing a service. I'm a native English speaker, in case you guys didn't know. And and that's something that qualifies me to teach English there better than most of the, you know, like the Arabs. And so, you know, just me going and teaching English is providing a service that they can provide for themselves. So it's not something that I feel like I'm going and like taking away something for myself and not really like providing something really valuable. You know, I feel like my money was being used very effectively. It was providing me opportunities and experience that I can put on my resume. And it was also giving me an opportunity to just serve the people there and be a light to them, and then also come back and share with my friends and my family. And so it was really incredible.
Thanks, Jared. Thank you very much. Janelle is going to answer question number 2 for us. Janelle, what did you feel you had to offer or give to the people of and the ministry in Mexico prior to your departure? And what do you feel you actually gave or contributed?
Okay, well, I went to Mexico and didn't really understand what I had to give. I had, like, mediocre Spanish skills. I could get across my point, but I knew that wasn't going to really get me very far. And I knew I was working in basically a homeless shelter while I was there, so I was expecting to go and work with kids, and went in the first day, and they were all, like, 20 and 30-year-olds, like, really, really straight off the street, drug addicts, dealing drugs, like I said, living on the streets. Like, you would go... It was really, the craziest thing was when I was there, we went to the streets every Friday, and like they would just have mattresses on the sidewalks, like in the middle of downtown Mexico City, and like have like makeshift tents over them, and like all just like huffing drugs and everything. And so it's just incredible to see that. So I didn't really know what I had to offer them. Like, how can I relate to these people who've been living on the streets? Like, I come from the U.S., like I have so much, and like I have Christian parents and all that kind of stuff. So what can I even offer them? But God definitely showed me how he'd prepared me to be there and everything. And I kind of just went with a willing heart, kind of willing to do whatever was necessary, just like listening to people, paying attention to them. Most of them don't have any family. They don't have, even the family that they do have isn't very constant. Like, they'll be home for a week and then they get kicked out to the street again. Or like their girlfriend is just like there for a week and gone the next week. So they really don't have any constant person in their life who's like just willing to be there with them and love them and spend time with them. And like I said, they're living on the streets. They don't take showers very often. So the shelter I was at offered them 2 meals, like a Bible class, and they could shower and wash their clothes, which like they don't have anywhere to do that. So it was just like basic needs being met there. So I was just kind of there, went. They're kind of really looked down on because they are living on the streets. Everybody in Mexico is poor, but they're like the poorest of the poor. Like, they don't have anything. And what they do have is, like, outside for everyone to take. Like I said, they're living on the sidewalks with mattresses, like, that they pick up at a dump somewhere. So yeah, just trying to figure out how to love them. And while I was down there, I realized the most of all that my actions could speak way louder than anything I could say. One, first reason, because I am not completely fluent in Spanish. So whatever I did have to say, this, especially, like, the street guys, they wouldn't really have the patience to listen to me. So the Mexicans I was working with were super patient and listened, but, like, they weren't going to really give me the time of day, like, if I was stumbling through words or trying to, like, get to the point but going all around it before I could actually get there. So I was just trying to figure that out. So trying to figure out, like, what I could do instead of, like, anything I could say. And one of the situations that really stuck out to me, like, when she asked me this question was, there was a girl named Rocio, and she, it was, like, the second week I was there, and I'm sitting behind her during the Bible study, and I'm watching lice, like, crawl in and out of her hair. Like, I'm just, like, watching and counting them, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, this has to be, like, just, like, feeling things crawl over me and just not knowing what to do. So I went home that night and looked up, like, home remedies for lice. So I found out that mayonnaise can kill lice. So the next day I went in and I was like, Rocio, we need to do something about your hair. Like, I don't know how you can handle this. I was like, do you care if I put mayonnaise on your hair to get rid of all these lice? And she's like, no, please. She's like, I haven't been able to sleep for weeks because it was, like, so painful and so itchy. Like, she hadn't been sleeping. So on top of living on the streets and not being able to sleep, she's, like, in all this, like, itchy pain because her head is infested completely with lice. So we left the mayonnaise on there for an hour. Then I spent, after that, we, like, washed it out. I spent 2.5 hours brushing her hair out and, like, getting all the lice, like, falling into the sink. Like, the bottom of the sink was, like, covered, filled with lice, just, like, dead sitting there. And she hadn't, like, so the whole 2 hours I'm talking to her, trying to figure out what's going on with this girl. And she hadn't brushed her hair for 7 years since she went to the streets. So just, like, realizing, and, like, she told me her whole story, like, how she went to the streets. So it was this really cool moment where I got to... She was had to listen to me because I was willing to comb out her hair. And I... like, she had to listen to what I said. I had to listen to what she said. And so it was really cool just to be able to share that moment and just show her that love because, like, the biggest thing I learned was you have to be willing to love people without being afraid of getting dirty. Like, you have to be willing to, like, go in and, like, be an equal with them and not be this, like, American girl from the States who just comes to help you and serve you and rescue you. Like, it's way more... powerful if you can actually, like, live out what they're dealing with and stuff like that. So that was the way I was able to give, I think, like, at the end, like, now looking back, like, I can see how that kind of thing. And now, good news, Rocio has moved home with her family, so she's no longer on the street. I just found out last week. So it's, like, one of those things where there's people, all kinds of stuff like that going on. So
great. Thanks, Janelle. Well, in addition, when we serve, obviously, there's things that we give, and there's also things that we receive. From folks that we get a chance to serve, they end up serving us back. It's a great irony of missions. And so my question to Ethan regards that. Ethan, what did the people in Hong Kong give to you?
Well, there's two main things that people in Hong Kong gave to me. The first is patience, definitely. I've had patience in the past, but I was definitely tested on a lot of things because... I went there to teach English, and I am not an English major. I've never taught anyone really anything in my entire life. So it was tough, and thankfully some of my students were pretty high level. Others barely knew anything, so it was a very wide range. But during that time... At the beginning, I was kind of like, come on, we got to get through this stuff. I wanted to finish everything that I had for the day for my lessons plans and stuff. But over the 3 weeks that I was actually teaching, God really showed me that the main reason I'm there is not just to teach them English. I mean, yes, that's the reason I'm there. But the reason I'm there is just to love on them and show them the love that they don't get from their real teachers, that they don't get from their parents. And through that God showed me that patience is a huge way that I can do that because I wasn't frustrated in the beginning, but I was starting to get frustrated like, oh, come on, I got to get through this. And it also made it a lot more fun. So patience was definitely one thing I learned. And the second thing I learned is how important stories are, just people's stories and their backgrounds. In America, I mean, it's really important. I mean, last year I definitely learned a lot about that too. getting to know people and stuff like that. But the first week that we were there, we had training, or the first weekend, and they were just pounding into us about how important people's stories are and how important it is to reach out to them and ask them about their lives and such. And it was just amazing to see how open they are with just the things that they're going through, even these like 13, 14-year-olds, and also like 20-year-olds I got to hang out with a little bit, just how much they would give to me and just allow me to see in their hearts and the things that they desire and the things that they don't desire. It was just an awesome way to be able to relate to them, and I could share with them my story about, well, first of all, just about how I came to Christ and stuff like that, but also just my experiences. And through that, I feel like there was just this huge bond that's been created, and it just broke the language barrier, which was, it was hard sometimes to get their stories because a lot of people didn't speak very well. But through the certain ones that I would talk with, it was just, God just struck me hugely on how I need to be a better listener and be open to people's stories more and more all the time, just so that they can feel loved and so that I can love on them. And so I can just understand them more, because that's just, I think that's a huge part of life, just getting to know people and just feeling how they feel and such. So.
Okay, Savannah, you've got our last question. We've talked about how what we are able to give and what people then we receive back and give. Now we're going to talk about God's giving to us. Would you please describe one or two specific ways in which you witnessed God's provision, whether it was before or during or after your mission experience in Hungary?
Well, going into the trip, I knew that the lady that I was going to stay with, the family, the mother, Katie Beth, was sick and had been sick for a little while. Not crazy sick, but like can't really perform normal mom things because she's sick. And so when we first got there, Kimberly Tate came as well with me. And so when we first got there, it was like time to clean the house because that hasn't been done in 6 weeks. And time to help out with the meals and whatever. So we just jumped in and did life. And that wasn't what I was expecting, to be honest. I knew she was sick, but I wasn't expecting that that's what we were doing. I was going there for an international communications internship. So I thought it would look a little differently at first than it did. But when we got there and we were doing these things, I was thinking, well, this is great. She needs our help. Here we are. Kimberly is super like jump in and help, and I want to be that way too. And so we were both just trying to do what we could. But like the second day that we were there, I was dusting and I saw this wall sconce in the hallway, and I thought, oh, they didn't even ask me to dust this. I'm gonna go dust that. So I do. I walk over there and I dust it. Well, little did I know it wasn't screwed in the wall, and it came shattering to the floor and shattered all down the stairway. And I was so embarrassed and humiliated, and they were laughing, and it was fine. But I felt like such a failure. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm here the second day, and I'm breaking things. And the trend continued. I went to the grocery store another time, and they have like big like box kind of things with lots of boxes of milk. And I picked one up thinking I could handle it, and one of the boxes of milk went off and like broke in the middle of the store. And it was just embarrassing. And several times I tried to do things out of my own strength. And though I'm in a weightlifting class this fall, I still haven't gotten all muscled up. So I still am like learning that I can't do it out of my own strength. And that's where God provided for me in Hungary. He taught me that it wasn't out of something that I could do. It wasn't out of my own ability to like please other people. One time, they don't have chocolate chips in Hungary, so some people brought chocolate chips in, and I decided to, well, we wanted chocolate chip cookies. So I was going to make them, and I was going to make them well. And my family, my parents, my mom, in fact, she likes her chocolate chip cookies crunchy. Well, don't worry. Since being at college, I've realized not everyone is like that. Most people like them really gooey. So I set out to like sit by the stove and watch the cookies bake and pull them out of the oven just at the perfect time when they'd turn light brown. And when I did, I put them on a plate and took them in the living room. I was feeling pretty proud of myself. And someone reached out and picked one up and goes, oh, they're burnt. And I was like, what are you even talking about? Like, it's gooey. But we just saw things differently. And that was a huge experience where God provided. No matter how hard I tried, like, I thought I was making gooey cookies, but to someone else, they appeared burnt. So out of my own strength, there's nothing that I could do to please people. And then I learned, then I realized, and I say then because that's funny. I didn't just learn it then. I have to learn it every single day because it's not about pleasing people. It's about pleasing our God and Father, and it's about leaning on his strength. And so I guess Hungary for me was just a chance to, like, learn that God is the power giver and the peace giver, and that we cannot do that out of our own strength.
Thank you, Savannah. I'm gonna read verse 13 again of the passage that Bereko read for us. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Contextually, this passage talks about, traditionally, I should say, it's contributed to, like, financial giving and things like that. And certainly it is. You give a lot financially, and people for you give a lot financially when you serve on the field. But that service, that giving, is not just financial. As you've heard people, you give your time, you give resources, you give, as Janelle said, a willing heart to be able to serve. And I know many of you in this room have probably already, gone out of the country before, done various things of service. Some of you will do that for the first time. And maybe, in all honesty, you're just doing it because you're required to do it before you graduate. My prayer for you, though, is that it goes beyond that, and that you experience God in such a way and experience this mutuality of giving and serving. It's more than what we give. What in the world is God giving back? What is he trying to say? And what do all these folks, these people that we meet when we go, what are their gifts? How do we edify them and lift them up in the body of Christ? It's an awesome privilege, but certainly an awesome responsibility as well. So this year, for many of you, as you're thinking about either your requirement or you just have a hankering to go, God has put it in your heart to serve somewhere, be proactive and diligent about where you go, and be prayerful about where you go. Take advantage again of our missions info bash there in front of the cafeteria. See if there's a place where God would want for you to serve, not just internationally, but also here. What ministry might God want you to plug into on a weekly basis? Where might he want you to give and give and give some more so that he can give back to you? We thank you very much for sharing your stories with us. Can we give them a thank you? It's no small thing to stand in front of hundreds of people and share things that are close to your heart. So thank you very much. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, so much for this opportunity that we've had to hear from four of our peers here of their stories, Lord, and what you taught them, what you showed them about themselves, what you showed them about your world, the people whom you love, any walls that you might have broken down, preconceived notions that you, again, may have just obliterated because they were getting in the way. Lord, I'm grateful and I'm reminded every year when this chapel comes around of the legacy and the place that Asbury University has played for so many decades when it comes to serving you and spreading your word. We don't do that in vain, Lord. We do it for you. And as we've today looked particularly at our mission and stewardship cornerstones, I pray that you would even now be speaking to students, be leading them and guiding them where you desire for them to serve, Lord, even in the cross-cultural requirement, that it would become even deeper than that, not just something to check off a list, but an opportunity for you to broaden and to stretch and to challenge. Thank you, even in advance, for the places that you will call these young men and women to serve in this year. Help us to honor you and glorify you when we do it. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.